Welcome back to SLMA Radio and a rotating series of programs. This week it's Outstanding Outbound, an outstanding program that explores the growing field of outbound lead generation, particularly for large deals like yours. This monthly program is hosted by Marianne Vanilla, author and CEO of the Vanilla Group, which also sponsors this program. So let's get things rolling. Welcome, Marianne.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm doing good here today. Today we're going to do something slightly different. You've got some outstanding ideas I think you're going to share on your own here today.
Yeah, it's funny because right before we started broadcasting, I was on a call with someone and we were talking about the amount of B2B outreach that we get. And it is generally pretty bad.
And
I don't want to seem like I'm complaining all the time about this, because I do complain a lot about the quality of B2B outreach, but I really feel that organizations need to stop and look at what's happening.
Amen.
Because it's something that there is so much resistance to do. I wrote an article, gosh, it was over a year ago, that was about how many of your leads crash and burn on the front lines. And it is so true, because when I send this to people and when I send it to my clients, they're like, wow, yeah, this is happening. And it's just something that is overlooked so many times. One of the reasons behind this whole conundrum of this battle between sales and marketing and who owns what and all this, but really you have to look at what changes at different stages of a prospect's journey, and you have to take the right steps and actions at that time.
Can I give you a story that I think illustrates perfectly what you're talking about here from
my own life?
I guess I'll say it, because I probably shouldn't say the name of the company, but it was Salesforce, the big company that everybody thinks is the great guru in this space here. And I was thinking of looking at a new CRM system. I had tried some other things, and so I thought, well, let me go back to Salesforce. Everybody uses that. And I'm just a small operation. I don't have tons of people. And I just wanted to sniff around and try it. And of course, you can't do that anymore. You have to fill out a form and schedule a demo. And immediately, the minute I did that, somebody called me and somebody emailed me. And relentlessly for a week, I kept getting unsolicited requests. I just wanted to look at it. And finally, after a week of hounding me, hi, how are you? How can we help you? What can we do to show you? Just give me the, let me look at it and play with it before we talk any further.
It
got so ugly and so overwhelming that finally, when the last person called after a week of this, I took the phone call and said, look, I will never use Salesforce till the day I die. And I'm going to tell you why. I just wanted to try it out in my own time and space, and then I'll ask you, well, no, we just want to find out how we can help you. No, you don't. You want to find out if I'm a hot lead or a cold lead, if I'm a big company. You want to decide where I go in your funnel, and you want to immediately try and sell me something. All I want to do is look at it. And so their response was so over the top, overwhelming, so inappropriate to where I was in my buyer's journey, that it killed the whole thing right in the front thing.
Yeah, and stuff like that. I mean, it's just really common. And I think as just in general, as we get busier, you know, we have less time and less tolerance for stuff like that. And I think as organizations grow and they have their own digital initiatives, and as you're buying stuff, it's like vendors need to make it easy to work with them. Like I had a client that was using, I won't say who they are, but it's a very big platform. It's a Salesforce competitor, but so they had an integration tool that integrated with Salesforce, actually. And so our customer wanted to do that. And so I was trying to check into it. I couldn't reach anybody on the phone that knew anything about it. So I filled out a form on the site, and I got follow up on that form for, you know, 3 months after we already bought the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was driving me crazy. So the thing that I really encourage organizations to do is follow the customer journey down to the front line and see what's happening down there, because things are breaking down there.
And let the customer tell you what pace and what they want. Don't just jump down their throat and say, you know, somebody other thing, I'll give you another example. They're like, you want to find out some info or something, and they won't tell you the pricing, they won't tell you anything about it. Immediately, you got to fill out a form, and immediately they're trying to sell you and close you or put you into some sales drip pipeline here. And it's like, listen to me. Listen to what I need. Listen to what I want.
Yeah, and they want a certain size deal. And I mean, some of that, it's a bad experience for prospects. If you look on my LinkedIn articles, I wrote one specifically about that, is, are you putting your customer on a timeout? And
Exactly. I felt like I'm the bad guy here. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like the customer wants to talk now, but it's like, well, you're not qualified enough for my time. But the thing that is really rough that's happening with ones that are actually qualified is, with all the marketing automation and digital marketing and all the things that are happening that drive customers through this measurable, reportable path, right? So everything that's happening in an automation world is reportable.
Right.
And so you can see, okay, they got to here, they got to there, they did this, here's their history, all of that. Now it goes to a live person. And when it goes to a live person, there's five things that happen. First off, there's an independent decision made by the sales rep how to handle prospects. So some reps might not be as experienced and not have the depth of knowledge to know the dynamics of early engagement or not. It just depends. The second thing is individual interpretations of the opportunity or non-opportunity. So, and that has to do with their depth of understanding of that particular space or whatever it is.
And don't they all do that? I mean, that's what marketing always complains about sales. I gave you a good lead and you immediately assumed it was worthless, or
right.
You made a judgment on it and didn't follow up. Just like in the car dealership, somebody walks in and three guys start to stand up and they go, no, that's not a real one. And they just sit back down.
That gets to the point of why people have a distaste for sales reps, because whether you're buying $1 million worth of technology or you're buying a car, people still don't like to engage with sales. And it's because of these types of experiences.
Right.
And the other thing is individual practices. You know, this is where management scratches their head saying, well, why does Tracy connect with so many people and Brenda is at a 50% lower conversion rate?
Right.
Or why do we never have issues with Tom, but Mike is constantly complaining about the leads? You know, and another thing is understanding a prospect's environment is only as good as the knowledge base the rep has personally developed and the research and prep they do for a call. And the last thing is the follow-up effort is based on the workload of the rep and their understanding of prospect behavior. So here you've got five variables that, and there's just a few, there's probably, you know, many other weird situations, but they all kind of fall into some version of this. But one of the things is it's not a one size fits all. And I've always been a firm believer in your prospects will tell you what they want to buy.
Exactly. And when they want to buy it and what they're looking for. What's their question? When I always say when people go on the internet, they're not looking for your product anymore. They're looking for an answer. I got a problem. I'm trying a solution, a question. And if you answer that question or provide some solution, then you can start a conversation. But they're just sniffing around in the beginning, and everybody wants to jump down their throat and immediately try and sell them and close them and put them into a pipeline. And that's not what they're looking for at that moment.
Well, yeah. And the important thing is having systems for managing different things. Like, for example, you know, and I really dislike the term social selling because it's not some new thing to, you know, figure out how to interact with your prospect. It might be new to be doing it online, but good reps were doing it anyway.
Right.
Because a good rep would go into somebody's office to meet with them and they would kind of take an inventory of what's going on in there. And you get an idea of this prospect as a person. And then you can kind of organically fold that into your discussion and you get to know them. And it is all relationship based in many cases. It's like people are human and there are certain behavioral elements of interacting with them. So when you transfer that to a digital environment and a remote environment, so now you aren't in somebody's office, so you don't know things about them, or you don't have that real-time feedback of gestures and things like that. So you have to prep for that meeting online. And so much of that just doesn't even happen. So people will call prospects, or people will do things without any kind of knowledge base of that prospect. Like the conversation I was just having before this went live is we were talking about how we get calls and the reps don't even know our business. They don't even know what we do.
All the time. I'll give you another classic example. So we're a radio station, and we obviously get pitched a lot by public relations firms. Got a great guest, got a great topic. Love to have them on one of your shows here. And last week, somebody sent me, a big PR firm in New York City sends me this wonderful thing all about some event going on in Brooklyn and why we should cover it. I'm like, we're in Southern California. Just got on some database and they mailed it to every radio station in America here. Why? I got another one after that. Another one I had to laugh at. I keep these as examples. And it said, hi there. And then it literally had a parenthesis, said, fill in name of radio station. They had forgotten to take that out.
Yeah. So, we all know that it is bad. And the ratio of bad outreach to good outreach is really distorted.
I think it is.
The people that know how to do it right are getting a higher level of pushback now, just because they got to work a little harder to prove that, you know, they're not an idiot, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
In real life, there's a lot of different approaches with what to say, how to engage, all these things, because you have to understand the prospect. And just like you were saying, when you get on somebody's website, you don't want to get called 50 times afterwards.
No.
When just looking for information.
Exactly.
So a way to fix it is, number one, find out what is actually happening. So get a sample of results from each rep. So see, okay, how are they documenting stuff? What are they, when something comes in, what is their individual process for handling that? Because then you know. So then you look at what are your best reps doing and what are your weak reps doing, and then you can create a model. Have a true skills assessment of engagement. And I'm not talking about product knowledge and all this. I'm talking about more soft skills. Mm-hmm. So more, like last time I was on, we were talking about that soft skills development when I had Chris, one of the founders at Balto Software. And those soft skills are really what makes the difference. So
can I ask a question on that point in particular? Because this is another, if you're going to rant, I'll list some of my pet peeves here and maybe people can learn from them here. I'm just an average businessman who gets overwhelmed by outbound emails, phone calls, everything here. Another one that drives me crazy is the guy or girl that calls me up out of the blue, unsolicited, trying to sell me something. And that I'm okay with that for a moment, as long as you're not going to waste my time. But they immediately want to, they've interrupted my day, and they immediately want to start saying, hi, how are you? I'm like, get to the point. I don't know you.
Yeah.
We're not going to sit and become pals
skill.
Here.
Right.
Yeah. I'd much rather have said, hey, Mr. Roberts, I know you're busy. Just want to let you know, see if you're interested in this.
It's important to really just open the dialogue like a normal person.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. I coach reps. You should talk to your prospects the same way you talk to your neighbor over the fence, the same way you talk to people in line at the bank or whatever. They're the same people. And sometimes that often changes in a business environment. So have a real assessment of engagement and what's going on, and see, how much do they understand? How are they reaching prospects? How do they interpret responses? How are prospects mentally responding to the things that they do? And that is measurable. And then you want to look at the behavioral aspects of sales versus product knowledge and more mechanical type of content. So, it's the success is coming from having real skills in guiding a conversation to uncover information and making progress in that discussion versus explaining, you know, a functionality of something or getting into functionality when you don't have all these other things down first.
So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to ask you one more question here, and you can think about it in the break here. So is outstanding outbound more of a science or more of an art? Ponder that for a moment. We'll come back and talk about that in a second, okay? And while we're all pondering that question, let's give you an answer, at least one answer. There is an answer called the Vanilla Group, a company that's committed to give back to their customers more than just great leads. Their objective is to deliver a customized, strategic sales development solution that is sustainable. And isn't that the key to this all? Something you can do over and over again. The Vanilla Group's solution is designed to invigorate your entire sales operation. They provide your sales team with new revenue opportunities and continuous stream of ongoing selling activities. What we're all, the holy grail we're all seeking. Achieving this mission requires a partnership, though. As your trusted partner, the Vanilla Group tries to understand your objectives and meet your requirements. For more information on how they do this magic trick or how they put the science behind it, go visit the website at vanillagroup.com, just like it sounds, V-A-N-E-L-L-A, group.com. All right, did I tee that up well enough here? Is it science or art?
You know, it really is both, because it's a science in the steps that you need to take, but it's an art in executing it correctly. Because that's really the important part, is you have to be able to execute it. And that is where it falls apart a lot of times. Like a lot of work that I do is helping organizations, you know, really figure out what they need to do. Because, yeah, we do demand gen, we do outbound demand gen, and we engage all these people. But whether you have an internal SDR team doing that, or you are outsourcing it to us or whatever, it's like you have to be able to have a process to hand the baton to another person and then have them maintain continuity with that experience that they have. You know, we have an experience with them where they tell us all kinds of stuff and we have this great conversation with them. But when you hang up the phone, that prospect gets sucked back into their world.
Yeah,
and then
right.
You have to kind of re-puncture that right. bubble to be able to engage with them again. And I mean, we've made millions of calls. I mean, we've been around for almost 20 years. So yeah. We've got lots and lots of programs and all kinds of empirical data and all this. And we know the amount of engagements that you need to have with a prospect before it becomes reciprocal is about 3. And so after you've had 3 real solid interactions with them, now they know who you are. Now they'll prioritize engaging with you.
Right.
So a lot of times the expectation is a little soon, like, oh, I called them back or I emailed them or whatever, and they didn't respond. And that could be from a white paper download or some contact us or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. It's like the prospect is busy and you have to really align with what it's going to take. There's plenty of data out there that suggests in early attempts, it's 12 plus attempts to even connect the first time.
Wow.
And
that many times just to get through there.
Happens all the time.
So let me ask you a question, another question then here. If what I'm hearing you're saying is the sciences makes it predictable, so you can duplicate this and do it over and over again.
Yeah.
But the art is in teaching people who are implementing that process how to do it. That makes it effective.
Right.
Otherwise, they're just going through some rote script or rote process, and it comes across as insincere and annoying.
Yeah, exactly. So that gets into hiring. Like, how do you hire people? One of the questions that I ask people in hiring is, tell me about a time you really went above and beyond for your client.
Mm.
And that gives me a character idea about them of how much skin in the game do they have. And that'll tell you how much they care about what they're doing, how much accountability they have for putting their name on something. You'd be surprised how many people don't have an answer for that.
Well, because I think they're also afraid, gee, I've never done that because when I did, I got my head chopped off. You know, I'm taught to be a robot, follow the script, follow the process.
Not even that as much as just something, you know, what I'm looking for is I sold this thing to a client. And, you know, this thing happened and it got all complicated and I needed to do this and that. And just, you know, I want to see people's resourcefulness and I want to see how much they're willing to adapt to a client, because that gives you an idea of how much they care about them, how much they invest in their own personal development, and how much they own the work that they do. Because a lot of it gets to, and this is like a really low level employee mentality when people get into the, well, if you want me to do that, then you can pay me more.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know? So that's somebody that shouldn't even be on the front line.
But that's isn't that one of the other problems with outbound today, is that we've outsourced it to so many cheap alternatives. We've got call centers in India or we're Philippines or wherever they speak English. And these people they're not into this. They're just going through it like a robot. And they're just making millions, and they're being required to make, I don't know, thousands of phone calls a day. I don't know how many. And so they're not invested in it. They don't have any stake in the outcome. It's just, they're just going through the motions.
Well, in a B2B sale, there's a lot of complexity and there's a lot of things to understand. So that's not really something that is a scripted thing. That's something that maybe you have a guide of what you want to find out and things like that. But you really need to have a lot of critical thinking firing during that conversation. And I get it. The call center business is huge. And, you know, that's usually not something that we are competing with. I mean, that's kind of like high volume stuff. I mean, it's more how our organizations.
That's probably consumer driven. We're just doing millions of phone calls trying to get something out.
And, right. You know, this is more on the just understanding your business prospect, understanding them, understanding their business. And the few minutes that you can spend before calling them make all the difference. And also cueing into how prospects are responding. Like I often talk about peer level engagement. And it's like, what is peer level engagement? And peer level engagement is that you're communicating with them as an equal.
Mm.
So equals don't call people Mr. and Ms.
Yeah, right.
Don't.
Hi, Mr. Roberts. How are you, Mr. Roberts?
Yeah. Right. And equals don't apologize for calling somebody. You know, like right away, you talk up to them and apologize, and you just shifted the whole dynamic of that engagement into some class distinction of, oh, hi, I'm a sales rep, I'm beneath you. So there's a lot of little things. And the thing is when you're doing that on the phone and you're doing it remotely, the effect of that is very exaggerated because you don't have the person in front of you.
Yeah, like the visual, you know, cues that might soften that or something. It's like emails. I find the same thing. You can say something in email. People get very disturbed about it or offended. And you were just kidding. Or
right.
They take it a different way than it was intended.
Communication breakdown. So understanding that your words and all those things matter on your engagement, especially in early engagement, because the prospect doesn't know you. They don't know. Really, you're kind of painting this canvas. And so that's the really, really important thing that you need to have, is that understanding of what is happening on the front lines. I do plenty of work around discovery in that area, because that's really where you lift your conversions. It's not more leads. I mean, of course, everybody can have more leads, but you want to close more.
Yeah,
and
right.
You want to close more of what you have. And so you can get a revenue lift just from digging in at that level and saying, okay, here's the whole customer journey. Here's what's happening. You know, I had one company that I worked with, they had to schedule 600 meetings to close 30 deals.
Wow.
That were not huge deals.
Wow. Wow.
You know, a lot of it was just this crash and burn, right? And so just understanding that process was automatically something that would have impacted a revenue lift with what they already had going on.
Jim Obermeyer, always kiddingly, who runs this network, Funnel Network, always kiddingly says, you know, you want a quick revenue lift for your organization? Try calling back, contacting all the leads that come in. Quit throwing so many of them away or taking too long to get to them until they've already made a decision. I thought, is it really that simple? It starts with that, just calling them all back. And then, to your point, doing it more effectively, a little science, a little art, so that you close more of these. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
How do people reach you if they want to learn more? We're at the end of our time here. How do people, if all this sounds appealing, they want to find out more how, because they probably don't know what's going on in the front lines. They might think they do, but they probably really don't.
Yeah, we do outsourced SDR stuff, but we also can do evaluation on what's happening now on front lines and make sure that you're just squeezing all the revenue potential out of there. And it's really surprising what can be discovered. So the best way to reach me is shoot me a note on LinkedIn. You can look me up there. I'm on Twitter at Vanilla Group. Our website, vanillagroup.com. Yeah, please engage with me. And if we're not the right fit for you, I'll point you in the direction of somebody that is. And my goal is to really lift the experience that B2B buyers have, because everybody benefits from that.
And do you promise not to call them 400 times for the next 4 years here?
No, I'll only call them 300 for the next two.
Okay. So. All right. Well, all right. For learn more, go to vanillagroup.com. It sounds like there's a big need for it. And I fear that many of us are like that famous Jack Nicholson line from A Few Good Men. You can't handle the truth. We probably don't really want to know what's really going on. So we just pour more into it. The bucket's leaking. So we just pour more water into it and hope that some of it will stick. All right. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks.
You've been listening to another episode of SLM Radio and this week's program, Outstanding Outbound, brought to you by the Vanilla Group, right here in the Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.